This is Yusuf.
This is In-Flight Entertainment.
Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Yes, so now we are continuing our second movie during Pride Month. We are looking at gay rights this week with the movie that was basically the story of Harvey Milk, who was an American gay activist who fought for gay rights and became California's first openly gay elected official in the San Francisco area.
Now, that's right. And the movie we're talking about today is Milk. Yeah. And it was released October 2008. The month was October. The day was the 28th. It's a lot of twos and eights in that one. All right. October 28, 2008. All right. So 2008 seems like yesterday. So the shows we were watching, you know, now we're in a full kind of competition era of programming. Crime scene programming. So number five was NCIS, right? Four was CIS. Number three, Dancing with the Stars, of course. Number two, American Idol, Tuesday nights. And number one was American Idol, Wednesday nights. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had an interesting appetite of programming back then. All right. And so the song was, T.I. Whatever You Like, T.I. 2008. I thought that came out earlier. All right.
I don't know that song.
All right. Actually, if you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that song. Yeah, I've heard that somewhere. That's for T.I. And that year, we were, you know, blessed with this film directed by Gus Van Sant, who gave us Good Will Hunting and some other goodies in his directing arsenal. Wait a minute. So did he wrote this too or not? Yeah, don't check that.
Dustin Lance Black wrote the movie.
Gotcha.
And Gus Van Sant directed it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So this movie is starring Sean Penn, Josh Brolin, and a few other actors. But those are really the most important actors within the movie. We also have Diego Luna in it.
James Franco.
Well, it's funny because I didn't recognize Diego Luna. He does not look like himself in this movie. you're just going to have to go watch the movie to find out why. James Franco with his like white man afro at the beginning of the movie, and then he cuts it down shorter. There's also Emile Hirsch that also has the white man fro.
Yeah, for those who don't know him, he's I know him as Speed Racer in the Speed Racer movie.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, why do I know this guy? It's like,
Look at Speed Racer.
So the story of Milk tells the story of Harvey Milk, who was in office from January 8th, 1978 to November 27th, 1978. So he was in office for a very short of amount of time, but he did a lot of good. And the movie starts out with him in New York. It's about 1972. And this is where he meets one of his boyfriends, James Franco, and he picks him up in the subway and they start dating and then move to Castro District of San Francisco, because a number of gay and bisexual men were leaving New York and moving to San Francisco. It was just safer and easier there. Just to put this in like historical perspective of the Stonewall riots, those happened in 68. So this is just 4 years after that. It still wasn't easy. I mean, it still isn't easy for gay men. It's easier than it was, but Stonewall riots happened in 69, which was basically a nightclub in Greenwich Village of New York. The cops raided it and were arresting a bunch of people. And the Stonewall Bar was not only just a bar, it was actually a place where kids that were abandoned by their families were staying, living. It was their home away from home when they weren't sleeping on the streets. And so when the cops went in there and started arresting people, they had nothing to lose, and a riot started. It was actually started by two people of color. So a lot of the gay rights that we have today are actually because of two people of color were just fed up. So what we're seeing today in the streets with the Black Lives Matter protest is not too different from how the gay rights started. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Like, the more things change, the more they stay the same, unfortunately. So Harvey, they opened up like a camera shop in the city, in that district, just to be greeted by a couple of store owners that wasn't really with having, homosexual couple have a business. And so so it was kind of like the rude awakening of, yeah, like we have a business, but we still have people who don't want us here. I forget. So it was a fellow across the street from the camera store they owned. He owned a liquor store. What was it? I forget what to go. So he pretty much came across the street to be like, okay, well, just to let you know. And so many words, like, okay, well, we don't really want you like having any businesses in our district, and, you know, take that someplace else, is in so many words that, you know, he was trying to tell them.
Yeah. And basically he said, your kind aren't wanted around here. The way Harvey actually got into politics was that Coors Beer started supporting anti-gay things. And so he got all of the gay bars in San Francisco to stop serving Coors Light and Coors. And that's sort of how he first made his name for himself within the community.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and till this day, like, I never had an urge to crack open a Coors beer like can at all. And I was telling Chris, like, well, like black people don't drink Coors. Like we don't mess with Coors beer. Like, no, like they don't even advertise to us. Like Colorado, cold Rocky Mountains, but black people don't want to go any place cold. Or be resembled to cold mountains. Like, we don't mess with Coors beer. Like, no, like, you never see black people reach for a Coors beer. And then, you know, rewatching this movie, I'm like, yeah, see, that reinforces why we don't mess with Coors beer. Cause like the Coors company didn't hire, did they not hire homosexual like workers or people who was trying to work for the Coors company or something like that. Yeah, so that was the boycott. Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, yay, cool. Like, I still boycott them. Well, I just don't buy their beer, whatever.
Right. So that was sort of his beginning into the political world. And in the movie, we see he decides to run because he wants to, one, make a name for himself, and also because he wants to change the way things are. Because even though, like, the Castro gay district, there was a large gay population, a large community there, they were still being discriminated against. And felt the only way he could really impact that was if he could get into politics.
Right. Yeah. And so he was gaining, you know, respect within the community. And they're like, you know, it was at a point where he would go to, you know, this is, you know, ran by, you know, heterosexual people. And, you know, and people were welcoming him after a while because they just started liking him as a person, you know.
Right. Yeah. His platform was he was running on, quote unquote, a culturally liberal platform opposing government interference in private sexual matters and favored the legalization of marijuana. So his like fiery speeches and savvy media skills really got him the attention of a lot of the gay business owners in the Castro district. And that's how he was ultimately elected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think the first one he was running for, he lost. And I think the second and third, like he kept running. And each time he lost, he would lose by like a smaller margin. So with every loss, he would see like, OK, well, it's catching on. You know, it's not a wide margin as much. It's just getting thinner and thinner and thinner. It's almost where he felt if he did it one more time, he would have enough votes, you know, to push it over the edge and he could finally win it. And eventually it happened.
Right. So when all of this is going on in the movie, we're also seeing the different people in his life. So we mentioned James Franco. His name in the movie is Scott. He was his boyfriend that moved from New York to San Francisco with him. That relationship eventually ended, and he met Jack Lira, who is played by Diego Luna, and they end up becoming a couple and living together. Emil Hirsch plays Cleve Jones, who is a boy he picks up on the street and sort of takes under his wing to start to nurture and grow. And then you see a couple people, John Briggs and Dick Pavich, to help him with his campaign. And then he hires this woman, Annie Kronberg, played by Allison Pill. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my favorite scenes in the movie is Harvey brings in Anne into his campaign office and they're like, well, why do we need a lesbian? He's like, well, we're very, you know, lesbians are very good at getting shit done. So they need a woman in the office.
I think he said so, like, you know, plus you got more balls than all of you have or something like that.
Yes, he did. That was
a pretty funny piece of dialogue.
So as he wins, he becomes part of the state assembly, and that's where he meets Dan White, who's played by Josh Brolin. And he's also working with Mayor Moscone, who's played by Victor Garber.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we start to see some of the things that happen behind the doors of state assemblies and everything, you know, people trading votes. And if you vote for my thing, I'll vote for your thing.
Right.
And basically, Harvey tells Dan White, I will vote for moving a psych ward out of your district if you vote for my my bill that basically eliminates any discriminations against gay for housing or jobs. And so there was a movement going on across the U.S. where many states were trying to make it illegal for schools specifically to hire gay people, that you could be fired and I think even go to jail if you hired a gay teacher. They strongly believed that if a teacher that was gay would convert children into being gay, which is ridiculous because it's not like that.
I mean, when you watch it, It almost seems like fiction. It's like, man, people, and that's, and the crazy thing is people still have that way of thinking today. It's like, yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, it boggles the brain. Like,
right. So it was called the Briggs Initiative. And John Briggs, he ran for California governor in 78 and he didn't win. So he was pushing for what it was called Proposition 6. So a lot of the second half of the movie is all about Proposition 6. And Harvey Milk's campaign to make sure it doesn't get passed in California, because it basically passed in every other state across the U.S. to eliminate gays in schools.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is pretty much a cold red type fight. And Harvey knew, you know, San Francisco is kind of like, have to make that statement. You know, I was like, okay, like this is the place. San Francisco is the place where, you know, the community is welcome. People can, LGBTQ people can flourish. They can live their lives. You know, they're not gonna let that pass type thing. You know, so it was definitely all eyes on them. You know, because Harvey said, hey, if we lose here, like, we're done type thing. Yeah.
Gays are history. So while all of this is going on, you still see there's like tension between Dan White and Harvey. Dan White, he's married, he has kids, and he doesn't like that Harvey Milk is, who's new to this position, is becoming so successful. He's getting so much media. His bills are passing and Dan White's bills aren't passing. And so you start to see some jealousy going on there. Mm-hmm. And also Harvey and Dan keep trying to exchange votes, and Dan's very much like, well, you didn't vote for my psych ward. He can't get over the fact that Harvey didn't vote for the one thing that he wanted. And so he keeps voting against everything that Harvey puts forward. And Harvey is just sort of trying to mend bridges there.
Right. But it was to a point where Harvey, like, you know, got things passed. Anyway, even though, you know, Dan like voted the nay, everyone else was yays.
the big thing that Harvey got passed was the anti-discrimination law, not just Proposition 6, but the anti-discrimination law for housing and jobs in general. And Dan White was the only person that voted against it. So I think the final vote was 11-1. And then through his campaign, they did get Proposition 6 rejected in the state of California.
Right.
And that was a huge win for the gays.
Yeah.
Throughout all of this, there's a couple really poignant moments that speaks to representation in like media and politics and life in general. And you have a young gay man from, I think, Philadelphia or something, calls Harvey to thank him for being so public and out about his gayness, and that they do need representation in politics to make sure that they are protected. And that still goes for today. Representation is huge, not just for LGBT people, but for people of color as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, because people have to see people that look like them in those positions. Yeah,
right. Yeah. And I we've talked about this in movies also, in that movies, TV shows can't all be about white men. You do need to have stories about the other people in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Because there are a lot of diverse stories and voices and perspectives, and that have to be shown, you know, so people, like you said, that's not, you know, white men can connect, and say, hey, you know, I feel that way. I've seen that. I actually almost lived that story that they're telling.
Right.
So, but yeah, very important. Yeah. So on. Okay. So pretty much like at this point, we see Dan starting to, you know, like come a little
spiral out of control.
Yeah. Because when we first see Dan, it's like a news kind of interview with him and his wife. You can see it's like this really clean cut kind of all American, you know, portrayal. Like, you know, he have the wife, and the wife is just have a newborn. And actually, Dan invited Harvey to the,
christening. Yeah,
the christening and all that. So, you know, at first, it looks like Dan seems like he's a fairly neutral guy who just wants to, you know, like befriend, you know, a Harvey and build a friendship as well as a political, like, you know, relationship. But we start to see the descent of Dan, you know, when like he's not getting what he wants, and when he see that Harvey's, you know, getting the job done on things that he want to get done, and he just, and Dan just sitting on the sidelines, just befuddled on like all the success that like, Harvey is achieving. It was very, and I would say Josh Brolin. That's why Josh Brolin is Josh Brolin. Like how he played Dan was so good.
He played him like, I mean, your typical politician type of looking character, but it was very much, he starts out as what you could see would become like a JFK or that type of, or a Bill Clinton type of politician if he was successful. Mm-hmm. But he does spiral out of control, and you start to see him getting jealous of the things that Harvey Milk is able to achieve. So Dan White is also trying to raise a support his family. And the annual salary for a board supervisor was only $9,600 a year. That's $9,600 a year that he was trying to support his family on, which is not a lot.
In San Francisco?
I mean, even in 1978, right. That was not a lot.
Exactly.
I don't know what that translates to today, but it's not a lot. and so he does quit his job as a board of supervisors to go take a different job. But he regrets his resignation and then tries to get his job back. Mm-hmm. And Moscone decides that he's not going to bring him back, that he's going to hire someone else to grow the ethnic diversity of the board.
Right. Yeah, which was a smart move, you know, like that forward way of thinking, you know, on George Park is like, well, you know, we probably need to bring someone else in that have that point of view of inclusion and things like that, where Dan was definitely in the selfish mindset of, okay, I just get me in here and I figure it out. Like he didn't have a game plan. He didn't have any foresight of say, okay, this is how I could execute this. And he was just like, okay, I just want to be a politician again, you know, kind of thing.
And so on November 27th, 1978, a half hour before the press conference where Moscone was going to announce White's Dan's replacement, Dan sneaks into City Hall through a basement window, and then he goes up to Moscone's office to talk to him. And he goes in there, yells a couple things at him, shoots him. Then he walks down to Harvey Milk's office, asks if he can speak to him in private, and then shoots him. So Harvey Milk and both Moscone died that day. Milk was 48 and Moscone was 49. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a tale old as time, especially in American, you know, history. It's like the figures who have that fearlessness of invoking social change are a threat to the establishment. Therefore, they must be assassinated. You know, I mean, I can say it just boggles my mind. You know, with King, with Kennedy, with Malcolm, with Harvey, and I know there's a couple of more I'm forgetting that don't get, you know, the press like these, you know, the other figures get. But yeah, it's just I don't know, and it's interesting how, you know, sometimes certain narratives of America is like, oh, you know, we have a really rich and robust history. Like, I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot of stains on that history, like very huge blood soaked stains, especially with individuals, American individuals who had an idea to change the mindset of America at the time frame that they were living in, just to get gunned down, you know, just for, you know, expressing the fact that things have to change for the better and then acting upon it, mobilizing it. And yeah, it just, yeah.
So Dan White, he, I think he only served, he got a 7-year sentence. I think he only served a few years of that. It was considered manslaughter, and his lawyers used the Twinkie defense. Oh, God. So apparently prior to the assassinations, he was living off of a diet of like soda and candy and chips. And his lawyers said that that caused him to go crazy. Which no, he was just an evil person.
Yeah.
He actually ended up committing so after being released from prison, he did commit suicide from carbon monoxide. Mm-hmm. And inhalation a couple years after being released from prison. But Harvey Milk still to this day is really considered the most famous and most significantly open LGBT official ever elected in the United States. People may feel differently now that Mayor Pete has been out there, but I don't know. I feel like Harvey Milk still probably made the most significant impact on the gay community.
Yeah, totally. Like Pete. Yeah, Pete don't have to go through like 6% of what Harvey had to go through to establish what he established.
Right. Well, Pete wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Harvey. So.
Exactly. So yeah, like Harvey is the original article. You know, you have to respect the man's legacy.
Yeah. So. Why did we pick this movie? I mean, besides it being impactful to, I think I picked this, but why did you agree for me picking this? Do you remember?
Well, one, I wanted to rewatch it because I haven't seen it since it was released. And two, you know, like you were saying, the climate of things today, like it's only right if we start going back and go back to people's stories that, you know, that was passionate about change, passionate about challenging the injustice that's, you know, that was going on and still going on. And Harvey Milk is definitely, you know, one of the people who achieved it, you know. He was the spark, you know. You know, and I think today is the Pride March. I think we're recording this right on the day of the March. Yeah. So
the day that should have happened. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's only right, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, the LGBTQ community is still fighting for, you know, justice, equality, to just live as a regular American that we thought was embedded in the Constitution, but I mean, yeah, but we still have to try to, still have to fight for that, you know, just the basic civil liberties, which I had no idea that, you know, we still have to fight for that. I thought it was a given, but you know, and
So last week, the president passed a bill making it okay to discriminate against transgender gay people through healthcare. So we are still trying to prevent discrimination against the LGBTQ community.
Exactly. So yeah, so that's why I have to keep fighting, because that's the thing about this country. It's like a two-step forward, three steps back scenario at every turn. This week, like, all right, cool. I think we on the road. Then something like this happened where we have a president that would just say, you know what? Yeah, we should pass this law. Yeah, let's just do it. Like, with no good reason why. Well, I know the reason why, but yeah. Yeah. And so now here we go. Like, now we got to put those boots on and, you know, take it to the streets again, because I thought something that we was eradicated, that we didn't have to worry about at the time, now we have to worry about it again. Yeah, it's 2020, right? And, you know, it's like 1920.
Yeah, so side note, make sure you're registered to vote, and vote early if you can. Yes. So that you're not stuck in long lines on the day of voting.
Exactly. Oh, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that we don't lose more of these rights that we think we have today.
Exactly. Totally agree. Yeah, it's important, guys. Get out there, you know. You know, speak with your votes, you know. Very important. Oh, and far as the film is concerned, Sean Penn won the Academy Award for Best Actor for his portrayal of Harvey Milk.
Yeah, and Josh Brolin was nominated for his role as Dan White for Best Supporting Actor. He didn't win, but that is still his only nomination to this day. So hopefully he will be nominated for something else in the future. Yeah. And then Matt Damon was originally cast as Dan White. I'm really glad that they went with Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
And then for James Franco's character, Scott Smith, there were a couple actors that were originally looked into. One was Chris Evans, our favorite Chris. And the other was Bradley Cooper.
Oh, I mean, both would have worked. Yeah, both would work. But if Emile Hirsch, whatever, Speed Racer. So, like, I think he have the perfect look of, like, young innocence of it. Well, that Harvey looks at that and be like, oh, you're so cute, let me take you under my wings type thing, you know. He played Cleve like really well, because, you know, as when they met, like, you know, Harvey was like trying to sign people up, but Cleve with his like little kind of crew as they're walking away, and Cleve just kept knocking down Harvey's, you know, attempts to get him to sign up and stuff like that. And Cleve was like, well, I'm going to Spain. I'm leaving. So good luck with that. I'm out, you know, like, I don't care kind of thing, you know. But as the movie progressed, you know, things changed with Cleve and Harvey.
Yes. So you can see this movie on Hulu. So if you have that as one of your streaming services, definitely go there and watch. I'm sure you can probably watch it from somewhere else. Oh, it's on Stars.
Okay.
That's Stars.
Sweet. Cool.
And this movie is actually strongly based or was inspired a lot from the documentary, The Times of Harvey Milk, which came out in 1984. So you can also go watch that. And that is something that you can rent on Amazon Prime Video.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And definitely look into his life. You know, read up about him, you know, watch the docs. He's a very important American figure. The endless pursuit of, you know, justice and, know, equality for the people who's denied it in this country. So yeah, definitely Harvey Milk. Yeah. Oh, sorry. You want to give the
ratings?
Sorry,
yes.
I forgot. Oh, like, yeah, we even do that yet.
Our ratings for in-flight quarantine episodes are Ass on the Sofa. Totally enjoyed it. Putting Your Shoes On. Not sure if I should keep watching the movie or go risk life and limb with a virus and police brutality, or put my shoes on, run out the door and with no mask and without washing my hands and no water and be attacked by people and viruses. Yeah. So
yeah, why yell and fuck the police? All right. So, well, I'm just going to go ahead and just give it a, you know, ass on couch. Yeah, I mean, what else can I say about this film? I mean, it's something you have to watch. If you don't know much about Harvey, or if you knew a little something about him but don't really know too much, this movie is pretty good at, you know, doing key highlights of his, you know, of his political like career. And it does a nice job of, you know, showing his personal relationships, you know, and the juxtaposition of his form of politics and connecting with people, and Dan's way of kind of like the normal bureaucracy kind of business as usual politics of Dan, and, you know, what Harvey was trying to do to really change things. So yeah, definitely. Butt down.
Yeah. I mean, it's ass on the sofa for me also. But I have to say, even if you don't like, even if you're not into the politics or the historical thing, this is a very good movie. The character development, the character arc of Dan of Harvey starting out as these quote unquote nobodies and then ending up really where they ended at the end of the movie. It's very good and it's enjoyable. So yeah, definitely watch it. Even if you're not in it for the political reasons, it is a rated R movie. I'm not sure why it's rated R, because we don't see any violence and we don't see any guys having sex. Maybe just the topic. Who knows? Yeah. I feel like you could watch this with the kids and then talk about.
Yeah, have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good conversation starter. Definitely. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Like, you should watch it with your kids just so you can, like, you know, let them know, like, hey, this is stuff we have to, you know, fight.
Yeah, I really don't know why it's rated R.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of, I mean, in the context of the MPAA, yeah, it was a lot of F-bombs, a lot of.
Well, we know I don't ever hear the F-bombs, so.
Exactly. But but the MPAA do, so that's why they have to throw an R in there, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one company I should never work for, because I'd watch every movie. Yeah, this is PG.
Yeah, well, as you know, like, the MPAA do have, I've heard they have, like, clergymen on payroll. Like, so. Oh. So yeah, you wouldn't, yeah, you wouldn't be part of that.
No, I'd be fired very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What?
So next week we will continue diving into LGBT movies, and looking forward to that. We're going to do an indie one and a classic that was also a Broadway movie, so, or a Broadway show. So super excited.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, until next week, wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wash your hands.
Peace.